You see, I know I mess up, I miss cues, I make mistakes, I say the wrong lines. In this performance of life, I need a lot of work. I realize that this is, if you will, kind of a dress rehearsal for eternity. And I don't know about you, but I realize there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. But I'm thankful I have the master teacher who never missed a cue. He never made a mistake. He never said anything wrong. And he's patient with the process, and he's patient with me. And if I'll come to him and say, well, I know I messed up, but I'm not really sure where, he says, well, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me guide you back through the process, and I won't become frustrated. My mercy, my grace is here, and I'm long-suffering, so no matter how many times it takes you, I'll be here till you get it right. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not something we do every Sunday morning, but I want us to take some knees to the Lord in prayer. Quite a few families we have out, many that are traveling either today or later on this week. The Whites had to attend a family funeral down in Mississippi. They are there. Some families from this church, Fredericksons and Wallaces, they were attending the wedding of Morgan. Used to be Paris. Now I'm not sure what her last name is, but Sanders. And she got married last night, and so some of the families from the church traveled over to Indiana to be in that, be there to celebrate and commemorate that event. And so we want God's traveling mercies upon them as they make their way back home. And I know that there are some sick among us this morning. As you continue to pray for my wife, she's been battling some allergies and some other things, and please pray for her. And as we go to prayer, if you have a need in your body and you would like to be anointed and pray for, it's always right, it's always proper. James tells us, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let him anoint and pray for them, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. If you're here this morning and you need a healing, a touch in your body, you need prayer, as we go to the Lord corporately, I want you to come individually, and we'll lay hands upon you. The elders of this church will come, and we will pray and believe the prayer that we believe God answers and God heals. Can we go to him right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up and magnify your name that is above every name. God, we thank you that by your stripes we are healed. God, we have promises in your word. God, promises of healing and provision and help and strength, Lord, for those that are traveling. God, this weekend, those a part of this church, God, who have had to go and be with family in tragedy. Lord, use them, help them, strengthen them, God. Keep your hand upon them as they travel, Lord, for others who are here in this place. God, if they are healed, if they are sick in their body, Lord, we believe and trust in your power to heal, God, to raise up, to renew, to strengthen, God. You're able, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Elders, would you come? We're going to anoint and pray for those that have come forward believing and trusting in the power. Congregation, why don't you stretch your hands toward those that have come forward and believe with us and pray with us on their behalf. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, can you give the Lord an applause of praise? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I want to make you aware of a few things. We have an announcement. This week, happening in Nashville, Tennessee, is the General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International. I would ask you in your prayer time and your devotion, I'd ask that you would pray concerning the business that goes on there. They do take time during the conference to have voting, make elections, those that will be in particular positions. And so we ask that you would pray concerning that, voting concerning the direction of our organization. And I am proud to be a part of the United Pentecostal Church International. I believe it's, and let me make sure you understand this, it's not perfect. But I believe it's the greatest truth-proclaiming organization in all the world, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to call myself a Pentecostal. I am glad to align myself with those who I believe teach and preach what the Word of God says concerning salvation. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we're a part of this great organization, so we ask that you would pray concerning that. You'll notice at the back, there are some vegetables and some bags. Please help yourself to that. It's available. There's peppers and tomatoes and some butternut squash, zucchini. If it doesn't taste good, it came from my garden, so blame me. We want to, the Lord has abundantly provided in our garden this year. And so that's good. It was our first year to do a garden, and I think next year I will be a little less adventurous. I had no clue how much work it was. Now I know, and next year the garden will be scaled down considerably. Those things are available to you. Bags, please take them as you will. Ladies, if you're interested in going to the ladies' conference, registration needs to be turned in by next Sunday. And if you have any questions concerning that, you can please see Sister Sue Ann Harry Piles, and she will help you and give you direction concerning that. I know you've only got to sit for a spell, but would you stand and turn in your Bibles? Turn to a book of the Bible that I very rarely preach from, the Gospel of John. Some of you will know that as a joke. I love the book of John. I probably preach from the book of John more than any other book of the Bible. I love the revelation, the understanding that is written therein. I believe, this is just my opinion, I don't, other than what the disciple would refer to himself throughout the book of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, I believe that yes, Peter had his place, James had his place. I believe John had a love for the Lord, a love for the man Christ Jesus while he was upon this earth. It was amazing. And as I read the book of John, I probably memorized more verses of Scripture out of John than any other book of the Bible. And I love the revelation and the truth that comes. But this morning, as I read to you the text, I'm going to read to you from a place where what Jesus had to say was not popular. It's found in John chapter 8, again in verse number 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do." Everybody say, "Ye do." Jesus, addressing them, says, "And ye do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, then ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds." Everybody say, "Do the deeds." "Ye do the deeds of your father." They say unto him, catch this. It's always like those who have had truth revealed unto them, and it makes some things apparent in their life. It's many times that they then resort to ridicule. Look at their reply to Jesus. "We be not born of fornication." In other words, the insinuation is, you are. Catch it. "We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from him. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil." I don't think Jesus was trying to win a popularity contest. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I want to draw your attention to verse number 39. Their rebuttal to Jesus, as he's revealing truth unto them, they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were," everybody say, "If you were." "If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." This is the subject, the title of my message this morning. It's twofold. Main title would be, if I were to say, if we are, then we would. If I am, then I should. If we are, then we would. If I am, then I should. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house this morning. God, I thank you. Lord, we come before you, God. Lord, in humility and understanding, God, of our own, God, unrighteousness, Lord, that we in and of ourselves, God, are righteous as an unclean thing. Are righteous as filthy rags, Lord. We come before you in understanding that it's only by your grace and your mercy and your blood that any of us have a right and opportunity to stand before you this morning, God. And I thank you for that revelation. I thank you for the truth, though, while not easy to hear, God, that we, Lord, responded in such a way, God, that you've reciprocated unto us and led us and made us free from the bondage of sin. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We have just read and passage of John chapter 8, where Jesus is involved once again in one of his numerous discussions with the Jews of his day. Jesus is telling them that he is who he is and why he has come. And they cannot really see, nor hear, nor perceive the paradigm that Jesus is presenting unto them. He's trying to make them aware. He is attempting to reveal himself unto them, and they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot really perceive what Jesus is presenting unto them. In fact, they are becoming increasingly angry with him as they continue in attempting to combat and dispute his truths. The truths that Jesus is speaking unto them, and so much so that in order to silence Jesus and keep him from speaking such truth, they seek to kill him. Jesus addresses it. Why do they seek to kill him? Why do they want to silence him? I tell you why. Because they do not want to hear the things that Jesus is saying. They don't want to hear the truth that Jesus is presenting unto them. They do not want to hear that they are in bondage to sin, that they are servants of sin. They do not want to hear that this man from Galilee, this one that they have their doubts and suspicions about, they don't want to hear him as he asserts that he has the power to set them free. They don't want to hear that he is right and they are wrong. They don't want to hear that he serves God, and what he does, he only does in accordance and obedience with his Father, and they serve their father, the devil. They seek his demise because he speaks the truth concerning them and their direction. They want to silence him. They don't want to hear him anymore because what he has to say is not appealing. What he has to say is somewhat intrusive into their lives. What he has to say is very revealing about where they are, who they are. They want to portray that they are righteous. They want people to think that they are doing right and living right. They want people to look at them as though they have ascended unto some type of spiritual level that others are not. So they don't want to hear what Jesus has to say. They don't want to hear him talk like they are less than what they think they are. As I said before, Jesus was not trying to win a popularity contest. He was not following the rules of the book, how to win friends and influence people. He may have been influencing them, but the way in which he was influencing them was something contrary to what they wanted to be influenced, because what he had to say was unappealing unto them. He was revealing the truth that they do the works, and they though they call themselves Abraham's children, he said, listen, you're not Abraham's children, because if you were, you would do the works of Abraham. See, if you were, then you would. Let me say this. I believe one of the great, if not the main catalyst for this world to continue in its quest of killing all that is Christian, is that true Christianity reveals that what they do is not of God. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest, if not the main catalyst for this world to continue in its quest of killing all that is Christian, is that true Christianity, I'm not talking about fake Christianity, I'm talking about true Christianity, reveals that what they do is not of God. The reason why this world seeks to kill any alignment with Christianity, seeks to take what we hold as precious truths and foundational truths and principles and precepts in the Word of God and say that they're archaic and they're not for this time, so much so that our own nation would make laws or attempt to make laws in contradiction to the law of God. I know it's not popular, but let me say this. Jesus was not popular in what he was saying. And I'm sorry if this offends you, but Jesus was not attempting to be politically correct in his conversation with those. He was attempting to steer them towards truth. He was attempting to reveal the error of their ways. One of the reasons why this world seeks to silence the Christian is because the true Christian reveals the direction in which they are going.
someone bold enough to stand up and say what you're doing is wrong and the decisions that you are making for society are in direct defiance to the Word of God. Someone with enough guts to stand up and say, I do not follow you when you veer from what thus saith the Word of God. I will not align my life with your direction when your direction leads away from the things of God. And I make no apology for me standing and making a line in the sand and saying, wait a second, what you do is not of God. I don't care what you label yourself. I'm sorry. America can call itself a Christian nation all it wants, but the proof is in the pudding. And America is no longer a Christian nation. I'm sorry. I know there would be those who would like to silence this, but I'm bold enough to stand on a pulpit on Sunday morning and say, America has ceased to become a Christian nation. They have turned away from truth. They've turned into fables. They turned into their own mind. And there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And I don't care how popular it is. I don't care how many are swayed in that persuasion. If it is not in alignment with the Word of God, it cannot be Christian. Just because you label it such or just because you claim it to be does not mean that it is. See, this is why the world despises true Christians, because the real reveals the fake. The imposters, the charlatans, the fakes are exposed when the truth is revealed. The Bible tells us that Jesus was the express image of the invisible God, and he was revealing unto them how absurdly fake they were as supposed servers of God. They hated him for it. Hated him that he was bold enough to stand and say, you are not of Abraham, because if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. And you're not. You're not Abraham's children. You may claim to be his seed, and after the flesh, in the bloodline, you may be. But after the spirit, you are not Abraham's children. You do the works of your father. And I tell you, you may claim to have father Abraham. And though he may be your father after the flesh, after the spirit, he is not your father. Pretty strong words for those ardent Jews. Believe themselves to be right. See, this is what I've come to understand, and this is becoming more and more obvious in the day in which we live. The more the difference between the real and the fake is revealed, the more vehement and violent this world will turn towards the truth. The more the gap begins to widen, and the more the real reveals the fake, the more this world is going to turn. If you think just recent court decisions, it's just the icing, or it's just scratching the surface of what the spirit of this world intends to do, and it's not interested in just having fake Christianity, it is interested in abolishing all implications and all alignments with what it means to be Christian. Hebrews tells us there is a time coming when everything that can be shaken will be shaken. I've said it many times. I continue to say it. Loyalty is proven in the midst of adversity. And you can make the statement, well, I'm a Christian, all you want. But the proof will happen. I know. It's an unpopular kind of preaching. But look at the dialogue that existed between Jesus and these Jews. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Let me tell you what this is equivalent to. This is equivalent to the modern day claim of Christianity. I am a Christian. It's unfortunate. I've had more than one person in my life, under the influence of another substance, look at me and say, well, I'm a Christian. So wait a second, you can't go about judging who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. I don't judge. I allow the Word of God to judge who is a Christian. Jesus was bold enough to say, you say Abraham is your father, but you don't do the works of Abraham. I want to, and not in a demeaning or not in an insulting way, if you will, but I almost want to look at them and say, if you're a Christian, what are you doing in your life that is Christ-like? Come on, preacher, you're really meddling here this morning. No, I'm trying to reveal that Jesus in his day was bold enough to make a stand and say, wait a second, you claim to be Abraham's children, but if you were, then you would. And I've got to look at my life and say, I can claim I am a Christian all that I want, but if I am, then I should. If I'm going to claim to be a Christian, well, there better be stuff in my life that is Christ-like. And it better not just be a claim, because it doesn't matter how much I claim it. The claim itself does not cover the works that would deny the reality. You see, Jesus did not even consider their claim as being anything close to valid. Jesus said, you might be the seed of Abraham according to the flesh, but you are the spiritual offspring of another father. You claim whatever you want, but the reality is if you were a Christian, then you would live Christ-like. Woo. Man, that guy's not afraid to say it. No, I'm not afraid to say it. I know I'm not perfect. And I know there's a lot left in me that needs to be formed into the image of Christ. I know that. But I'm striving and I'm pressing toward the mark. And it kind of upsets me a little when people claim Christianity, but there's nothing in their life. They're not pursuing anything that is Christ-like. They're not doing anything in their life which would show forth the praises of Him or that would indicate that, yes, I'm striving and I'm living for God. And oh, I would that we would understand the claim itself as it was in Jesus' day when they claimed we are Abraham's children. That's the claim. See, the claim doesn't cover the reality of what is. Jesus said, but if you were, then you would. If you're really who you say you are, then you would do something about it. If I am really a Christian, then I would be Christ-like. I would be endeavoring in my life, in my lifestyle, to be turning away from sin. I would be endeavoring with everything within me to have good works, to show forth the signs of a changed life. I would be doing everything within my power to show forth fruit worthy of repentance. I would be doing everything. Am I going to be perfect? No. Am I going to make mistakes? Yes. Am I going to mess up? Are there going to be inconsistencies in my life? Yes, there will. Here's the thing. And it's right here in the scripture. It's right here in the dialogue between Jesus and the Jews. Because when the reality of what someone does and just who they are reveals that their father is not who they say it is. Jesus was bold enough to say, you are of your father the devil. That's what happens. Then the ridicule begins. Be not of fornication. We know who our Father is. You claim to be the Son of God so that you can mask over the reality that you're an illegitimate child. Did the preacher really say that? Yes. Because that was the intent in what they said. They weren't skirting around the issue. It's amazing how that when you approach someone and when all of a sudden truth is revealed in their life, all of a sudden they want to point out inconsistencies in those that call themselves Christians. It's amazing how people can live in all types of sin and debauchery and continue therein and live a life that it shows nothing, resembles nothing of being towards the things of God or Christian. But you let someone who professes Christianity commit wrong or mess up, and all of a sudden, that individual who's living in sin and knowing they're living wrong will be the first to stand up and say, I thought they were a Christian. I thought they went to church. I thought they said they loved Jesus. It's right here in the dialogue between Jesus and the Jews. And so when they couldn't combat the truth that he was revealing unto them and who they were serving, guess what? They resort to ridicule. Some supposed indiscretions in his own life. We be not of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Man Christ Jesus, what long suffering and what mercy must have existed in his life. Folks, you read it in the Old Testament. And there were people who made fun of Elijah and his baldness. The implication is you're not who you say you are. You don't have the respect. You're not the authority that you believe yourself to be, Elijah. And the Bible says that God caused two she-bears to come out from the woods and destroyed 40 of them. Terrible. Oh, what long-suffering and mercy must the man Christ Jesus had to stand there and take the ridicule. See, Jesus was willing to dish it out, but he was also willing to take it. Because as God manifested in the flesh, he could have called down lightning. Call me illegitimate? This is what happens to people who call me illegitimate. Vaporized. Could have. Oh, if we understand. Listen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to understand that this supernatural stuff, this spiritual stuff, is not stuff to be trifled with. It's not stuff to play with. Whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken. But whosoever the stone falleth upon shall be crushed to powder. Come on, preacher. That's not the type of preaching that people want to hear today. I'm sorry, but I like to align myself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was bold enough to stand up and say, you call yourself Abraham's children, but what you do, it determines otherwise. The works that are in your life would speak more loudly than your claim. And I would to God that people would understand the works in your life and in my life will speak much louder than my claim to Christianity. What I do in my daily living will show forth whether or not I truly serve God or whether I serve sin. So, preacher, be bold enough to walk to a pulpit on a Sunday morning and say it strong enough to have me consider what I'm doing and who I'm serving. My heart aches for this country. My heart aches for our society in which we live because I see it and it's becoming so much more apparent. They're willing to discuss the imperfections of those who call themselves Christians. They're willing to try to point out all the inconsistencies in someone's life while they themselves continue living in sin. And I'm trying to wrap my brain to the reality. How long, oh Lord, will you suffer it? How long, oh Lord, will you stand there and take the ridicule? How long will you allow those to make a mockery of what is truth and what is right? How long will you allow them to continue to claim something that their life shows otherwise? How long before that time comes when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess? And whether they want to or not, they will one day bow on their face before God and admit, I called myself a Christian, but I didn't serve him. I called myself a Christian, but I didn't do as Jesus did. So, I've said all that to say this. If we are, then we must. If we are, if we're going to make the claim, if we're going to be bold enough to align ourselves with that life that was lived, absolute perfection, I understand grace, and I understand mercy, and I understand remission, I understand justification, I understand sanctification, I understand all the things which help and allow me to align myself with the life of Jesus Christ. But shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's got to be something in my life showing that I'm endeavoring with everything within me, and though I may claim Christianity, let my life song show as much. Let it sing that I'm desiring with everything within me to do what is right and walk the right way and do what thus saith the Word of God. If we are, then we must. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, though they point out your inconsistencies, and though they speak of you as imperfect, though they may speak against you as evildoers, that they may be your, they may by your good works rather, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day a visitation. See, it's important that I be not just a hearer of the word, but I do be a doer of the word also. It's important that I don't just claim Christianity, but in every facet of my life, I'm endeavoring to manifest what it means to be a Christian. Because if I'm claiming Christianity, and then I'm doing stuff that is against the character of Jesus Christ, Bible says, I am crucifying him afresh. I am, if you will, I'm killing him. There's a statement made, and I've made it many times. It's in a DC Talk song. And it is this simple statement. The single greatest cause of atheism in the world is people who acknowledge Jesus mouth, but then do not live it in their lifestyle. They claim Christianity. We're Abraham's children. Jesus said, if you were, then you would. Oh, come on, preacher. Because of the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, I can do what I want to do, and I can live how I want to live. That's not the Bible that I read. That's not what the Word of God says. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In other words, you'll live by my example. If you love me, they said, oh, we have one Father, even God. He said, oh, if you love God, then you would love me. And the words that I'm saying would not be appalling unto you. They would be appealing unto you. If you truly love Jesus and you truly understand what it means to be a Christian, someone with enough guts to walk to a pulpit on a Sunday morning and say, if you are, then you must, would not be appalling unto you, but it would be appealing unto you. And you would say, oh, yes, preacher, tell me what I must do. Oh, preacher, lay it out for me straight. I want to be what I claim to be. Titus 3:8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. It's important what I do, that I'm careful to maintain good works, that I'm careful to read the Word of God, to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, that what I'm doing in my daily life, that what I'm doing in the workplace, that what I'm doing as an employee or an employer, that what I'm doing in the halls of school or education is showing others, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Matthew 5:16, let your light show shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Galatians 6:9-10, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. What are you saying, Pastor? Just this. If I am, then I should. If I am a Christian, then people should be able to know and see the fruit in my life showing and revealing. And maybe it's just simple. If I have to claim it, if I have to claim being a Christian, maybe my life is not saying what it should. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Jesus was never afraid. Speak truth. But he did it in the right way. For the Bible tells us, speak the truth in love. See, what I endeavor in my life is to preach, to teach, instruct in a loving way. People can claim whatever they want to claim. They can label themselves as such. Really, the proof is in the performance. I can claim to be a great opera singer. When someone gives me the mic, begins to play a song, can I sing it? I think you know where I'm coming from. I can claim I can label myself as anything I want to label myself. But the proof is in the performance. Jesus said, you claim to be Abraham's children, but your performance proves otherwise. You see, your performance proves that you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your flesh you do. Your performance indicates that what you're professing is not true. And I'm bold enough, and I love you enough to walk into your life and say, you're not who you say you are, because if you were, then you would. And if you love me, then you'll love that I love you enough to say it like it is. God, numerous times in my life in prayer, come before you. I, as the Jews did on that day, professed the level of righteousness, that I was right, that I was doing things in accordance with your word, but Lord, you revealed otherwise. The times I've grown and I've learned are those times when I heeded your voice and realized it was the voice of truth, steering me back into alignment with your life. Lord, I know I've preached it hard and I've preached it straight this morning. No doubt I stand before a congregation of people who claim to be Christian. And Lord, I don't demean the claim. I only ask that they understand the proof is in the performance. The last thing I want to do is stand before you on that day, having professed Christianity, having professed and portrayed to others that I serve you, only to have you look at me and say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." So Lord, I stand before you this morning, even though I'm privileged to be in this position as pastor of this church, but I'm very aware of my own inadequacies, a failure to be everything I need to be. Lord, help me to understand, behold the goodness and severity of God. Let me to back up what I claim in the life that I live. But be careful to maintain good works. Show forth signs of a changed life to all those that I interact with. Those areas of my life that are not measuring up. Those areas of my life that I'm failing to do what I need to do. Help me, God. Change me. Lord, I'm not appalled by what you say and what you reveal, Lord. It's appealing. Because it reveals the areas of my life that need to change so that I can go about doing good as you did. Lord, that they would glorify you in the day of visitation, that my works would shine forth and show forth, and that people would understand he doesn't just claim to be a Christian, he is a Christian. Because if I am, then I must. If you are, then you would. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. The front here, the altar. I know that that's for many reasons, one of which it's where sacrifices are made. And it's also called an altar because it's here where things are altered. It's here where I come before God, the reality of who I am, opposed to who I claim to be. What you wanted to be. Lord, help me to seek your will and your way in my life. Lord, for the proof is in the performance. Change me. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Change me, Lord. Help me. Change, I know I can't do it on my own. I know I don't have the power. I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know, based upon my own pursuits and desires, Lord, I will fall short. But Lord, let me seek first the kingdom of God, all his righteousness. Lord, let me follow after you, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Lord, I pray for this nation. I pray for our leaders, God. The claim alone cannot cover the choices that are being made that are anti-God and anti-Christian. Let your people who are called by your name, let them humble themselves and pray and seek your face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Oh, forgive their sin and hear the land. Here we are, we stand in need, God, of a good dose of reality. We stand in need of truth to be told in our lives, Lord. We stand in need of you being bold enough. And Lord, your word is such that it shows and it reveals. How many don't want to open the book because they know the book will reveal where they're not living right. How many don't want to go to church and sit under preaching because they know the preaching will reveal the truth about where they are as opposed to what they claim to be. Lord, I pray help.
Change me, Lord. Don't let me stay the same. I want.
Let my life speak loud enough that I don't have to claim to be a Christian. My life says it for me. The works that I do reveal who I am. God, the proof is in the performance. Thank you, Lord, for in love speaking truth. Thank you, Lord.
What you want it to be, oh Lord, please change me, change me, dear Lord.
For the time shall come when they shall not endure sound doctrine.
Change me, Lord.
For they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Turn away from the truth and be turned into fakeness. Lord, let me be a part of a church. Let me be and sit under the teaching, God, that teaches the truth. I don't fall prey to fables. Easy believism.
Help me. Just what you want it to be.
Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Lord, I know, well aware that preaching of this nature is not popular. Maybe some that sit under the sound of my voice who leave here thinking, well, I want to go to a place that makes me feel good and doesn't address the wrongs in my life. I pray that they would consider a source those contemplations. Lord, speak into my life.
Let your voice resonate loud and clear. The reality of who I am as opposed to who I need to be. And help me to change. Help me. For the proof is in the performance. If I am, then I must. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May God in Jesus' name.